Everybody, I'm Lexi here with the Sync Center Help Desk. I'm actually here with a lovely friend, John Pashada, here to talk to us about a deep dive into music supervision and all of the little intricacies that go into the workflow. I am so thrilled to be able to talk to you guys today and ask these questions of John so that he can let all of us know what we don't know. We're here to help you, and let's get started. John, great to have you again. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
We're coming up to the end.
Thank you so much. New Year's is my favorite holiday. Yeah, New Year's is my favorite holiday, just below my birthday. I like the vibe, you know. I like the way that people are always in a really good, like, proactive mood. People are very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Optimistic about the future and the way things are going. And that to me is like really special, because how often does that happen on a grand scale? You know what I mean?
It's a good year to just kind of clear the palate and look forward into the new year. So we're excited.
Yes, absolutely. Could not agree more. But yeah, like I told you guys earlier, I just want to dive in today, get a little bit more detail about the intricacies of music supervision. And so with that being said, John, what would you say is a music supervisor? How would you describe that?
Yeah, it used to be a music supervisor just assembled the music, picked the music. They kind of curated it. They were high on the mountain and they just, you know, picked the music and they were, you know, that was their thing. Currently, over the last couple of years, it's really grown into music executive, I think, is a better word, because you're touching music supervision, you're touching budgeting, you're touching clearance, you're almost a third brain,
like a jack of all trades almost,
for the producer. Yeah, you're managing everything that touches music, you know, your music replacement, creating new music, even bringing in music composers for the project. So it's really kind of a better, more accurate term is music executive. You know, yes, it's music supervision, but it's also managing budgets, replacing music, scoring stuff.
Yeah, covering a facet of all sorts of things. Like, I know that is one of the biggest reasons why music supervision was a big deal for me, and something that I felt like I could really see myself doing, because I am definitely someone who I get bored doing the same thing over and over again. The monotony of certain jobs, I can't do it. I need to be able to switch it up, do different tasks, and wear different hats. And it seems like music supervision is most certainly one of those things where you are doing a little bit of everything. Like you said, you have your hand in the pot with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you're really a partner for the producer. You're really there to bring their vision into the world and do it on time and under budget, if possible.
That sounds like a great recipe for success right there.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with each of the different areas that music supervision covers, I think also just redefining it as a music executive, even, I think that really kind of hones in all of what being a music supervisor even covers, because there's just so many different layers to a production. And the producer, you know, obviously they're leading the way, leading the charge in terms of making decisions and things like that, but they can't control, they can't make the decisions for everything, you know? Yeah. So there has to be that delegation.
They're trying to make the film, right? They're thinking about the film, they're thinking about final cut, all that. And then what we do is we bolt on to their team and come on to the project and really say, okay, now let's really break out line item of the music components for this. And how do we be smart about it? How do we save them money? That's a big part of it. You know, your role there is to help them think clear about all the music components to their film. And then, of course, having the relationships to bring that across the finish line.
Right. I was just gonna say you can kind of speak the language that they might not necessarily know how to speak in order to get their what their goals are and get their vision across. Yeah, basically being able to have the tools that they may not necessarily possess in the way that they would need to be able to, like I said, help that vision along. So,
They're
that's definitely.
quarterbacking the film, and we're quarterbacking the music.
Exactly. So actually, speaking of tools, I wanted to bring up something called SAS tools, and I wanted to find out from you, what are SAS tools? That's a relatively new term for me, so I'm sure I can't be the only one for sure. Definitely, can you let us know more about that?
Sure. Yeah, SaaS tools are basically software as a service tools that help you do your job better, faster, and smarter. Whether you're delivering songs or pitching songs, there's a lot of SaaS tools that help you do that. Disco is one of them. We use Dropbox and Box pretty heavily. A lot of people use Spotify as their delivery mechanism, and then they just share links from Spotify. A lot of people use Google Docs, Google Drive specifically. But there's, a dozen or so tools that people use that helps them kind of manage their workflow.
So essentially it's like it's basically like whatever type of tool you use to share the music, it sounds like, and to make sure that everything is crossed over between who it needs to get to and things like that.
Absolutely. It gives you some data on who's listening, who's downloading, what people are responding to. And then just delivery of files. So if we're delivering final mixes on something, that's the final delivery is part of that, because nobody's face to face anymore. So if we're working with a producer and team out of Mexico, it's all Dropbox, it's all those type tools. So those are
Gotcha.
some of them we use: Dropbox, Google Docs, Disco. Not really a fan of SoundCloud because it really doesn't, it's not really tuned for music licensing in any real way other than just a quick listen. So you want, whatever you use, you really just want to get up to speed on it and become, really proficient
Proficient.
on the tools you're using. So file delivery is a big part of it. If we're looking for, geez, the last one we were looking for were music replacement for Dolly Parton. So that's not something we have a lot of internally within our catalog. So we went out to some allies and friends and said, "Hey, we're looking for this Netflix film. Here's the criteria of what we're looking for: a reference track. What do you have that kind of sounds like Dolly Parton that is reasonably priced and you can clear, in 48 hours, hopefully a week."
Right, gotta go shopping a little bit.
So we went wider, and we use Dropbox for that. We send out links where people can just, drop their tracks into our folder, and then we can listen and kind of rank them accordingly.
Cool.
So yeah, that's kind of how we use SaaS tools and a few of them that are really commonplace in the music licensing world.
Cool. Actually, you mentioned disco. I personally, I really like disco. I've never used it for my own projects, but I really like the idea of it, and I like, it seems like the interface is very user-friendly for everyone involved. Can you talk a little bit more about your experience using disco and how that works?
No, it disco is great. It really allows you to watch the data on your pitches. So if you're pitching to a project and they're really, and there's 20 listens to one song, you know that they're responding to that one over the others. So then, as we, I think we mentioned in the last episode, Lexi, relationships are everything. So anything that gives you data to strengthen your relationships is a power tool and really important. So if a supervisor's, listened 20 or 30 times to one track, then you can follow up and say, "Hey, Monica, I see here in the dashboard that you listen to song XYZ, hopefully that song's a fit for your project. Let me know if you need mix stems or track mix for that. Happy to provide stems for that song." It's just a way to kind of strengthen the relationship.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I definitely want to explore disco more. I think it's a really great tool from what I've heard, and I definitely want to dive in and see more about what it has to offer for sure. you mentioned a lot about how in this day and age right now, everything is virtual in some sort, whether that be the file distribution or even the connection that you make with other music supervisors or the artists. And so that kind of led me to thinking also with the fact that it's, a new year. What would you say is the state of sync going forward? Do you think that it's going to be more virtual as the years progress, or whether that be with more streaming platforms and things like that? Like, what are you thinking for the future of Sync?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be distributed. The days of three or four people sitting in a room and viewing a scene and talking about it, maybe Steven Spielberg can do that, but for the mere mortals like us out there, it's really more and more distributed. So we work across timelines, LA, New York, Atlanta, London, Mexico. Distribution is commonplace. So that's kind of, I guess, point number one. The second thing I would say is that it's probably becoming easier and easier to get started in sync as more baby filmmakers are making their first films. So if you're in Atlanta and you're involved with the Atlanta Film Festival, being able to help those filmmakers is, they look at that like, "Oh man, somebody knows my pain and can help me." So, I think those first projects are becoming easier and easier to be a part of. And then lastly, I would just say it's, I mean, there are price pressures. There are still kind of those Super Bowl ad, those mega syncs that are happening. But there's more and more and more of those kind of mid to low level syncs, 15 to 1500, that range, that are happening more and more. So those kind of mid to low level syncs are becoming more and more prominent. There's still kind of, the Super Bowl ads, but those will always be there. So those are a couple of things. I would also say too that, just showing up, like it's, there's so many good groups out there that are doing it. Music Supervision Guild, Mark Frazier's group is great. Michael Elsner's group is great. And we can maybe tag, we put some of those links below for people to
Yeah, for
get.
sure. I definitely would like to get into them and learn more about those organizations for sure.
It's there's a lot of collaboration happening. I think the exclusive elitist kind of like, I just do feature films, that is kind of gone away a little bit. And there's more, if you have a heart and a mind to really help filmmakers or advertisers, like people will use you. You know, if you can show up, you know, really wanting to solve people's problems, that's a great thing.
Cool. That's
So
definitely great to
those are a
hear.
few of the things that we're observing here on our end of the Sync Center.
Well, thank you so much for providing us with your insight.
Of course.
I know for sure that when it comes to the state of sync, from my perspective, I agree 100%. There's so many different areas where music is needed and where music is continuing to be needed with these new platforms that are coming about. And I think like what you said about as long as you're there to be a helping hand, that's really all that's all you need.
Yeah,
Yeah, so
it's funny,
thank you so
Lexi, because
much.
a lot of people miss that completely. So if there's one thing, it's, you know, it's like your job is to be a problem solver and to add value to the producers. A lot of people don't get that. There's a lot of, you know, hey, check out my track, you know, and no, very little relationship building. So I know that's kind of been a thread throughout the first couple episodes, but if you can build
It's
relationships,
an important thread.
it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And 99% of people like miss
Miss
that.
the mark. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk,
Of course.
and to answer these questions for those of us who need it, because I know, like I said, I didn't know too much about the SaaS tools. I know a little bit about disco, but not a whole bunch. And understanding what a music supervisor is and like what the roles even consist of is definitely important to working in the industry. So I appreciate it 1,000%. Thank you
Of
so
course.
much.
Yeah, we'll add some links. We'll put some links below so people can have some, you know, direct link connection to them.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, everyone, thank you so much for watching. It's been great. I really appreciate everyone who has come by to watch, who's come by to share, and who's come by to help us in the conversation. If there's anything else that you want us to cover, anything else that you would like to know, feel free to drop it in the comments and let us know. And along with that, we actually have a guide that's made specifically for the questions that you may have that we may not necessarily be able to cover. I mean, we try to keep these episodes as chock full of information as we can, but for the off weeks where we're not posting or for those days in between where you're waiting for the next episode, be sure to take a look at our free guide. It's on the website at thesyncenter.com, and it will definitely provide you with as much other information that you can get there.